The following talk was given by Steve Hagen at Dharma Field Meditation and Learning Center in Minneapolis on March 29, 2020. This talk may not be played or reproduced for profit.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. I think what I'm going to do today is just simply, I'll say a little bit about what my teacher, Katagiri Roshi, has said about the situation that we're in here, not specifically, of course, but he used to talk about daily routine and unexpected occurrences, and we are certainly having an unexpected occurrence right now. We're all sharing in that, experiencing that. So I just want to say a little bit about how this might relate to our practice, and I think we can find a little bit of stability there if we just bring ourselves back to this practice, which is really just bringing yourself back to your mind right here and not allowing yourself to easily be carried away by fears and worries and unknowns and speculations and concerns of that sort. We easily get ourselves worked up in all kinds of ways through our thinking. But this practice is to learn to let go of that, to settle down, to not be carried away, to remember to bring ourselves back. And that's what Katagiri Roshi called daily routine. We get back into a daily routine. Now, I'm sure for all of you, because it certainly is true for me, my daily routine is completely out of whack right now. And it's starting to settle down now, finally. But that's something we want to attend to. And if we have a base practice here where we regularly bring ourselves back to just here right now, and you can do this, by the way, anywhere and at any time. You don't necessarily have to be in the Zendo or in your meditation room at home or whatever it might be. But any time that we realize that our mind is spinning away, getting tossed away in one way or another, we can develop a practice where that signals us to, once again, just to bring ourselves back to this moment, to what is taking place right here and what it is we need to do. I think for most of us, I hope most of us are well at the moment and perhaps maybe can remain so if we can follow the instructions we've all had about not an excessive amount of no socializing, I guess, really. but still, it's wonderful we have this tool, Zoom, where we can kind of keep in touch with others. And we have other Skype and other things as well. So we do have those kinds of connections, artificial connections that we can make. But here we have a chance to bring ourselves back to the practice on a pretty regular basis. And of course it is good to have a specific time and place maybe where we can come back to on a daily basis and just settle down for a few moments. But I just want to remind you, though, that we don't have to be caught by this. When we're confronted with something like this, totally unexpected and very big, encompassing all of us, it's really amazing. It's almost kind of surreal what is going on with all of us and what we're all living with right now. But still, we have our minds, and we can come back to that, and we can watch our breath to settle down and to realize that maybe right now, where we are, in the immediate surroundings, everything's okay at the moment. And if not, if it seems like things aren't quite so okay, still, we can bring ourselves back to this. And this is the daily routine. So more than just having the specific time that we set aside for a half-hour sitting or whatever it might be, we can always do this. We can always catch ourselves in those times when we're beginning to spin away. Katagiri Roshi gave this teaching when he talked about daily routine and unexpected occurrences. And it was at the time and it could very well have been my experience when I suddenly discovered I had cancer, and it was a stage 4, it was pretty advanced at the time we found it. I was 32 years old at the time, but I had been practicing for some years before that time, and 2 or 3 years there with Katagiri Roshi at that point. And I had learned this practice, I woke up to it, and I started to realize what it was. And I knew that what I had to do at this moment, where I was told by a physician that I had about 3 or 4 months to live at one point. And I had a couple other physicians who weren't quite so explicit, because I didn't beg them to tell me, as I did the other one. But that's kind of the situation I was in, and 32 years old. But I had this practice, and I understood it from very excellent teaching from Katagiri Roshi. He'd say, calm your mind, settle down. Not to me now, because I had cancer, that sort of thing. This is generally what he would remind us of all the time. Just settle down, bring yourself back, find your breath. Don't do anything special with that, but just put your mind on that and settle down. Bring yourself back. You're bringing yourself back to the actual situation that you're in. And generally, the immediate situation that we're in is a place where we can quiet down and settle down. And I found I could do that even while I had this stage 4 lymphoma that I was told was probably going to take my life in a fairly short period of time. That was 42 years ago, too, by the way. So even though we can get news like that, and of course right now we don't know what we're facing, but it doesn't mean that things are going to unfold in the way that we might be fearing or imagining that they could. Things will unfold as they unfold. And what we can learn to do is to be present with it, whatever might be occurring. And that's just the case because the unexpected occurrence does come along. My cancer, for some time I realized there was something wrong with me, but I had no idea what it was. And then suddenly when I get the news, it was pretty bad. And the same thing for us all now with this situation. Nobody was expecting this. We didn't even know about it back in October, November. By November, I guess it was starting to become known by some in China at least. But this has all come on for us quite suddenly. And it's all pervasive. It's affecting all of us directly and personally, now with social distancing and all of that. So we're all confronted with it. And it isn't really clear just exactly where this is going. But again, we have this practice, and we can bring ourselves back to this, which is just to, you know, settle down, quiet the mind. Of course, if we can take some specific steps to, you know, have a special place in our home or wherever where we can sit and in some definite times maybe where we can sit, this would be very helpful. But again, don't forget that at any point you can turn your attention to your mind and your circumstance. This is a time where we can really begin to engage this practice. And it's at times like these moments of unexpected occurrences, it's a time where the practice can help in many ways. I don't know if I want to say help. What I don't want to give the impression of here is that we have to do this in order to get something, in order that we can get some peace of mind or settledness of mind. These things may come. They probably will if we really learn to settle down in this way. But that's not, don't ever turn your mind to thoughts like that. That won't really help you in the end. That won't really give you the true peace and settledness that you're looking for and that you need. This comes with just taking this up with no reason. I took this up before I found out I had cancer. And when that came along, I was very grateful that I finally understood this and I was able to practice and to keep myself settled and calm. And of course circumstances unfolded in a way that I had not anticipated. I survived and I'm still here 40 something years later. So, but the same thing is true for us here. And no matter which way the road turns for us, we can still learn to really be present. This is where you're living your life. It's right here, right now. It's not in the scary views and visions and fears and worries that we have in our mind that could come looming up. I remember too when I had cancer at times, even when I knew how to practice this now, but still things would come up in my mind, and the worries, I could see them coming on. But I did learn to remind myself, well, I don't know what is going to happen, but what I realized I needed to do was just to be present. So that's what I would encourage you all to remember and to bring yourself back to if you can. I think that would be most helpful for us at any time, really, but certainly now, perhaps, I don't know, can I say more than ever, because this is really something we need on an ongoing basis within our lives. But we here, we have this opportunity to, we know about this now. We've been, this has been shown to us that we can take this up, and we've all experienced this to some degree now, to a greater or lesser degree. And again, this isn't like a panacea or a crutch or a, you know, some kind of a soft pad or pillow that we can lie on or whatever. Don't look at it this way. This is just a way to live your life from moment to moment. And we can learn to do this. And gradually, as we continue this and we keep it up, it does become the way that we live. And so even outwardly in our busy life, as we might become re-engaged with all of this now, I hope before too long, we can still recall and bring ourselves back to this settledness and this quietness and this sanity of mind without spinning away, you know, with various thoughts and fears and worries and vain imaginings. Our minds are so powerful, we can easily create worlds for ourselves that we can fall into and really think are real and true, but the actual nature of where we are is complete and total and settled, and we can find that within our own mind. So, I don't know, I think maybe that's all I have to say right now, but I was hoping maybe I could just say a few words like this to maybe get us started a little bit. If you have some questions or thoughts or worries or concerns, if you want to relate it to our practice, or in any other way, if you have anything you'd like to say. I see from the list of participants here, I had a number here once, but there's quite a few more. Oh, it looks like 95 people right now. I think we have a limit of 100, I mean, so we have space for 5 more, I guess. That's my understanding. I don't know if that's true or not. But so any questions, I'll turn it back over to Steve. He can take your questions, and I think he'll just turn on your mic, and then you can ask me.
Just a reminder that we'll be using the Zoom hand raise feature. So if you don't know where that is, again, it's at the bottom of the participants list, and you get there by clicking on participants at the bottom of the gallery. So it'll be to the right of the gallery. And what I'll do then is when I see somebody's hand is raised, I'll unmute you and then lower your hand. So this is the first one I saw. I'm not sure who this is. U5977. Oh, it's Pat.
Yeah, apologies. It's Pat Quinn.
Yeah, hi, Pat.
Hey, Steve. Thanks to everybody who was able to get this set up. I appreciate it. The question I had is, Steve, you and Norm have mentioned this the quote from a Zen teacher that if you know, an atom bomb goes off on your head, that's the manifestation of your life reality at happening. And I that kind of popped in my head, yeah, when Steve Matujak sent out requests for questions for this talk, and I was wondering if you could speak to that a little bit.
Yeah. Norm could probably give you a better response than I could, but really what the quote is he said, even if an atomic bomb goes off over your head, your true nature will not be destroyed. And this is something we can come to see and to realize. Our true nature isn't what we normally think of as myself, which is you know, a small thing relative to the rest of the world. It's something separate and apart from everything else. And of course, that can be destroyed, just as everything else. This beautiful scene behind me, I hope you're seeing that rather than this, my study where I'm actually sitting. But this is my outdoor study. That's Shovel Point behind me there. That's up on the north shore of Lake Superior, and this scene was taken right at the mouth of the Baptism River. But and this is our life. It isn't just our little selves. It is the whole world. And of course, we could say, well, yes, but even this could be destroyed. Yeah, the sun will nova eventually, and this will all go. But true nature is just this reality right now. And this is our life. This is a life we're actually living. It isn't confined to our skins or to how far our voice carries, even electronically. It's not limited in this way. It is the reality of this moment that we're living out, that's being lived out, and it's living us out as various things that appear to be distinct and separate and apart from each other. These things, like our normal view and understanding of ourselves, my mind and my body, are limited. And they will appear to have beginnings and ends. We were all born at some point. We will all die. Right now we're enduring in one way or another. And the rocks behind me, all of this, and the lake, it's all the same. They all come into existence and stay for a time. Even a thought or a feeling, it appears, it comes into existence for a time, and then at least it appears that way, and then it goes out of existence. We are so taken by the realness, the apparent substantiality of the various things that we encounter in this way, that we think that this is ultimately what is real. And there's a good reason. I mean, it's compellingly, these are, things are very compelling in their appearance of substantiality and realness. But with a settled mind, we can begin to see, and we really, when the mind does settle, it begins to settle into the mind of wholeness. And we can begin to see that and to realize that. I spoke of this, the way to notice this in your life, and I wrote about this in Buddhism Plain and Simple, where I used the image of, you know, the mind leaning. Something can lean if it's limited. Like right now I'm kind of leaning my body a little bit. I'm assuming you can see that. And yeah, I can lean because I'm a limited thing. My body's limited. And our mind, our own personal mind, is sort of a limited thing. And it can lean. And this means that it's, you know, maybe leaning toward those things that it favors and wants and would like to have and make endure and that sort of thing. And there's other things we want to run from and maybe destroy or get rid of. And so we're tossed about in this way all the time. But this is a very difficult way to live. If this is our reality and we think that this is the limit of it, this is how we suffer. This is why we suffer. And Dogen describes this as just simply we're holding views, which are themselves are limited and isolated, one thing from another, and some are preferred and others that's how we're caught. And of course, at any given time, there's a limited thing called a bomb goes off right over your head, and of course, that's going to be the end of me and the city I'm in or whatever. It certainly looks this way, and we don't deny the appearances. But that isn't exactly the full scale of what is taking place here. And so that's what he's referring to there. But what he's saying is that even if a bomb goes off, or an atomic bomb goes off over your head, your true nature will not be destroyed. Because your true nature is this wholeness, this totality. We can find this mind. Oh, yes, and as I was saying in my book, Buddhism Plain and Simple, about the mind leaning, it's just our limited mind. But if we start to observe this and watch that, we can see ourselves going towards something. We want to have a particular outcome. We don't want this to happen, and we keep trying to set up things so we'll go that way as opposed to this. We're just living endlessly in a disturbed mind and a frightened mind and a mind full of wishful thinking and much of which, probably in the end, all of which will not be fulfilled in the way that we desire, at least at the moment. So we can start to recognize this. And the awakened, what we awaken to is we see this occurring. This is delusion, by the way, because what's pulling us one way or another is the belief that we're actually dealing with something that's ultimately real and substantial. We don't realize that it's just the way things appear to be. But it's real enough, because this is how they appear to be, and this is how it feels in many very seemingly direct ways. This is what reality is. But reality is actually the whole. It is this completeness. And this is what will never be destroyed. In some ways, I've just finished a book. Well, it'll be out now this summer, in July sometime. I talk about this kind of indirectly, but I'll be pointing to the mind of wholeness and seeing the world in terms of totality. And it's different from our personal petty little mind that gets caught up with this and that. Here we're facing this coronavirus now. Again, that's what I was talking about earlier. What will happen to me now? It's easy. It's easy to be caught by this and taken by that. But if we actually awaken to the fact that this isn't ultimately what is happening here, and I'm not talking about something far away or dreamlike or something you can't experience. We can experience reality directly and know it directly, even now, even here. And in doing that, this is freedom from the kinds of things that otherwise vex us and toss us away. So anyway, but I think that's what Norm can tell you. I forget if it's Yasutani Roshi or if it's Homeless Kodo. I can't remember who said that, but I think that's what was being referenced there in that particular passage. So it's even if an atomic bomb goes off over your head, your true nature, but it's a true nature, that's a Buddha nature, will not be destroyed. And there's many other ways to point to that, but I would probably need more time to do that. But we'll have we are going to have the discussion group. I hope at some point that'll resume again on Wednesday nights. We only had two classes before we had to close down the center here now. But we'll resume that in some fashion, I think, pretty soon. But we'll be going through Dogen's Buddha Nature, which is just a radically different way of looking at the reality that we're living out, and to see it in these terms. Your true nature is Buddha nature, and this neither comes nor goes nor is destroyed. But it won't be you in any sense that you normally think of, you know, because yes, you're going to die. I hope we can all live through this experience and we'll still be around, but in the end, we will all die. Yeah, there's a truth to that. But ultimately, that doesn't take care of the whole picture. There's mind and consciousness, and this is not something distinct and separate from the rest of the world. And that's the part that we need to wake up to. So I don't know, did that help you, Patrick?
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay. Anything else? Is there a limit to how long we can be on? I heard 40 minutes, but...
Well, you know, we usually are scheduled till 11. No, we're not limited to 40 minutes.
Oh,
we have
okay.
A couple other questions, so if we can, we probably can move on here. So one thing, just to remind people, if you did ask a question once you're done, if you just mute your mic again, I'll go through the list and just make sure you've done that. But if you could do that on your own, that would be helpful. So, Ed, it looks like you have a question. I'm going to unmute you right now.
Yeah, I just had a comment. To thank you and Steve and everybody involved with this. I'm way isolated up here on the North Shore.
You're on the South Shore. I'm on the North Shore.
Yeah, I see that. And I'll believe it because you're saying it. anyway, I wanted to say hello to Paul and to Norm especially. I miss all of you folks a lot. But I wanted to give you a little report from up here. The swans are back. The geese are back.
Oh, wonderful, yeah.
And believe it or not, I have these three blue herons, Hank, Henrietta, and one other one. I don't remember her name. But anyway, they're gigantic, you know, blue herons, big birds. And I've never seen them here this early. They're putzing around in the snow. And somebody saw a caterpillar in Bayfield the other day, and it's been raining and snowing, but everything's melting and the lake is melted, and pretty much everything is just what it is. It's good things, caterpillars and herons, and I just wanted to say that. I don't know what it's like.
The world is still, it's still going on out there.
Just very naturally, and the critters are completely that I know of, unaware of all the anxiety and angst and pain that humanity is going through.
I think here in the city, they must be wondering why it's quieted down so much, because the city's not as noisy as it was. Fewer planes and cars.
They had coyotes in San Francisco the other day.
Oh, really? Yeah.
That's a scary thought. But anyway, I just wanted to thank you and to give you a little nature report on everything up here is as it is, always.
Yeah, well, you're in a beautiful place there, Ed. So, yeah, and thank you for reporting back.
It's good
Good, good to see you.
Okay, good to see you too.
All right, thanks, Ed. Kate, you look like you have a question.
Yeah, can you hear me? It's Jed. I got a question.
Yeah, hi, Jed.
And maybe it's related a little bit to the swans and the blue herons there about kind of just a regularity or the word's eluding me here, but essentially the question is about, you know, I'm used to practicing at Dharma Field. I think other people here who are listening maybe have a place where they sit, or maybe they sit at home. And then things are kind of turned upside down in terms of schedule. Just wondering your opinion on how to maybe set up a sitting schedule at home, or what's the best way to...
Yes. Yeah, that's a good point. I meant to say something about that. I'm sorry.
No, yeah.
Yeah, I think right now, I know there's people want to get together and have some kind of online setting together. I don't know if that really makes a lot of sense. In fact, I can see, but be patient with me in here. I'm not going to totally close the door here. But I think the idea of hooking it up and have these visual connections and things like that occurring at the time where we might have a sitting, you don't sit looking at a screen anyway, because I hope you don't. And I don't think that that part is really necessary. But I think what we could do, I've been giving this a lot of thought and just trying to think, is there some way that we could do this? Maybe make us at least feel a little connected or something, knowing that others are sitting at the same time with us. And I'm assuming, too, that maybe many of us now are not working our regular schedules and that sort of thing. So we might have more time. And we might not have, of course, some of you, I know, are on the West Coast and on the East Coast and various places, so you're not in our time zone. But I was thinking that maybe we could announce and have a kind of a scheduled sitting times, daily sitting times, and then we can just simply join in with that. And at these times, we will know that many other people will be sitting at these times at the same time. But I don't know that we necessarily need a visual or an audio link to those things at that time. We can just have the times that are set, but we'll all have to do them in our individual homes and places where we are, where we're sheltered and staying in place. And of course, maybe some of you are in states that you haven't gotten to this point yet, but you probably will. But here in Minnesota, as of Friday night, the governor said we have to shelter in place here now, so I guess technically I can't even go over to the center, though I haven't been over there now for, I was getting on the 2 weeks, I think, by now. But anyway, but I think we can, and I haven't talked to Steve about this yet, so, but I will be, and maybe we could set up something like this. I don't know if this makes sense to you, if you understand, if I made it clear what I pointed out here. But
I think just in thinking about the natural world and the routines there, and I know you've stressed many times to have that regularity of practice.
Yeah.
Sounds like the schedule that you're talking about there would be very helpful too.
And I thought either we could just set it up and do it, and maybe not quite at such an ungodly hour as, you know, as we have it now when we're all gathering here in the Zendo, partly because so that people can get to work afterward and that sort of thing. Maybe a more reasonable hour, whatever that means, 7 or 8 in the morning maybe or something like that. It did occur to me that if we are going to set up something like this, maybe we could have people write in if they can give some sense of what hours would be workable for them, and maybe there's times that wouldn't work, and maybe we could arrive at something that might be that people could more easily do, you know, more of us could do than fewer. And I am thinking, you know, like probably a morning sitting of some sort and an evening sitting, something like that. But these are things I want to discuss with Norm and Steve, but there's just thoughts that I have. So we're not quite there yet, I don't think. But as for the video thing, if I won't stop that if people really want to do that. But to be honest, I think that it isn't just neutral. You know, like there's, it's harmless. You could go ahead and do it. I actually feel that there's some in some ways it's somewhat detrimental to your practice if we attempt to do that. And there's various reasons why. And I've given this a lot of thought. I've looked at it quite a bit. So I would recommend not doing that. But I won't stop it. And of course, if we do have regular sittings on our own, but we know that we're doing this at the same time as others around the country, and I think that might be helpful for us, just that alone. But after that, if people did want to then connect, and I don't know, what are you going to do, talk about your sitting? In all the years I was with Katagiri Roshi, he never once talked about his sitting. And I don't, usually. Unless there's some point I can help you notice. Otherwise, there's no point in talking about it, really. It's just do it. Just take it up and do it. What's to say about it? So it's not, in that way, it's not a social thing. But it is something, we stress this when we give meditation instruction, that this is something we do with others. Because with this whole being, this whole life that we're actually living, you're doing this with others. And more than that, Dogen will point out that we're actually doing this as all beings. But to find that kind of mind, that truly settled and open mind, some of these kinds of gimmick things where we want to connect, and I understand the desire to do that and how it can make sense in some ways, but it's not helpful for really settling down to that mind of Buddha nature, the mind of wholeness. And so for that reason, I would discourage it. And I don't want to institute it as a function of Dharma Field. Though I think we can have designated times when people will be sitting. I'll be sitting at these times, and maybe Norm, Steve, others. But we can maybe sit with the idea that we know that others around the country and maybe around the world even are doing this as well at these times. But we'll see. And I think this is something we can probably put into place fairly quickly too. So, but again, I haven't even talked to Steve about this. He's hearing it for the first time. So.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for that. That makes a lot of sense. And then having these Sundays are a great way, I think, for people to feel kind of the community side of it, and then we can sort of express our practice through dedication, sticking to the schedule that we set up.
So, yeah.
So I'll open up to other people's questions. Thanks, Steve.
Yep. Thank you, Jeff.
All right, Mike, it looks like you have a question.
Yes, Steve.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. First of all, I want to thank you for doing this. It's helpful.
Oh, I didn't do this. This was all done by other people. I don't know how to do this.
So. Well, thank you for giving a Dharma talk.
Yeah.
It's helpful. And okay, thanks to all the other people who made it possible. How about that?
Yes.
You talked about settling the mind, returning to this moment, but sometimes it seems like, you know, when I do that, I still feel this terrible anxiety and fear.
Mm-hmm. But that is your mind, Mike.
It is my mind?
That's your mind, yeah.
Fear?
Yes, oh yes.
So
if that's what you're feeling,
yeah,
that's what your mind is in this. But that's your mind. That's not mind itself. That's not totality.
Right.
Yeah.
But how can I don't know, practice with that or better deal with it.
You don't have to practice with that. Just practice.
Okay, just return to the...
No matter what you're feeling, just practice with it.
Okay.
And I like I said, going back to even as a young man where it would seem like, well, don't I have the right to live to be a decent age? I was 32. Yeah. But I had learned to just sit down and practice. And I didn't know what the situation was, but it transcended any kind of fear. I'd start to feel the fear coming up, and then I'd realize what I'm doing, and I was able to just let that go and go back to the practice. And when I say the practice, I don't mean just while I was sitting on the cushion.
Right.
I learned to take care of my daily life with bringing myself back to this moment and what I'm doing now, whether it's washing the dishes or having a conversation or driving the car, any number of, it's my daily life. And okay. We can learn to do this and take it up and live out of that. Then these big sweeping waves of fear or whatever that might come rolling in, and I know you've been through an awful lot lately.
Yes.
And I sympathize with you there. But this is what you need to do. It's just, bring yourself back to this moment as best you can. Little by little, we can learn to be right here where we're actually living out the life that is truly ours, which is truly the life of the world. It isn't just our little life. And then we can do this with some stability and calmness.
Yeah. And I have a lot of things going. I mean, I'm retired. I have an income, so I don't have to worry about losing my job. I mean, I do have a lot of things going.
Yeah.
Just a lot of uncertainty with the coronavirus, and then my wife having cancer,
yeah.
and just getting out of the nursing home.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's been rough for you both. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So
my heart goes out to you, though, Mike. I think of you often.
Do you?
Oh yes.
Oh, that helps.
Well, that helps. I'm glad I let you know.
I'm glad to hear that. And I have read something, I don't know, this was from psychology, but when when at first you attempt to let go of your anxiety, initially it gets worse, and gradually it goes down. It gets worse because you're no longer doing your normal way of dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like when you quit smoking, at first the urge to smoke gets stronger. Before it goes down.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's the same way with anxiety and fear and everything else.
Yeah, I think a lot of things are like that. We're letting go of our usual way of doing things, or at least what we've gotten in the habit of, how we are living out our life. And now we're practicing something different. And it takes a while for us to kind of learn to do this. One thing Katagiri Roshi said about this, though, is... he wouldn't talk about this by like developing a new habit. Don't turn this into a habit. Don't do it mindlessly. In other words, know full well what you're doing, and to say why you're doing it might be going too far, because now you're turning it into granular kind of things. I'm doing it for this reason, that, and we're splintering the world again. Just take it up and do it. And This kind of helps to let your mind expand into wholeness, and start to watch for that. Little by little, we can learn to be, sensitive to that. So we notice when our mind is getting caught up in picayune little things, or maybe not necessarily little, but by getting caught up in this and that in ways that aren't really necessary,
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you, Mike, and good luck to you.
Okay.
And your
appreciate
wife.
It.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll mute my mic now.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Alan Lane, looks like you've got a question. Let me unmute you here. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, good. Thanks, everybody. It's so good to see everyone. For me, I haven't been able to do 35 minutes sitting for various reasons, and so I've tried to keep my practice going by just taking, like Steve says, in meditation now or never, 15, 20 minutes, and whatever you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever comes up. Sometimes I'm lying in bed not feeling well, and that's still an opportunity to meditate, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Any time, anywhere, any place, you can do that.
And I like the idea of, you know, if we have times to do it, but in my heart, I know there's always people practicing, you know? The world is always practicing with us. And so it doesn't, you don't need to have, I know you all are there and others. And I saw Martin's picture and shout out to Martin, you know, all around us, all over the world while this horrible thing is unfolding. It's still, we're all still one mind. And so I try to keep that in, even in the 15 minutes maybe that I can sit, you know.
Yeah, that absolutely. That's good.
And then I have another question. It's sort of directed at Steve Matuszek, too, is that could we possibly do the study group as a Zoom meeting? But anyway, that's just a thought I had to...
Yeah, I'll be making an announcement, but we did one last week. I thought you got the invitation. We'll make sure you get one. We'll talk about that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, great. Because that seemed like a good kind of Zoom opportunity. So that's all I had to say, but I know you all are practicing with me, and I'm practicing with you. So even if it's 5 minutes, you know?
Yes, I think we can all think of it that way. If, like I said, too, we don't have to, we probably won't set up a sitting time where we're getting up early in the morning when most of us don't have to dash off to work or something. And likewise, while we might set up, we'll continue with the 35-minute sittings perhaps on the formal schedule, but you can sit, you know, this is what I would say about that, though. Know the length of time you're going to sit. If you're going to sit 15 minutes, that's perfectly fine. Just be sure that you know this is 15 minutes, and then sit 15 minutes. And then you might think, well, this, 15 minutes go by, and I feel like I still want to sit here. That's okay, but I wouldn't really encourage you then to start sitting longer. If that's the case, well, then set it for 20 or 25. But it's very important to actually, but particularly with the starting time and how long you are going to sit, have that kind of fixed in your mind and stick to that. That's for the stability of mind that I was talking about. That's what you need to do. If it becomes wishy-washy and, well, I'll sit now and not then, and that isn't a good pattern to follow at all. That's kind of starts to resemble our ordinary mind, which gets tossed about very easily.
I use my iPhone. It has on the timer, you can have a chime go off. So I use the my iPhone and set it for 25 minutes or whatever, and then set it aside. And
yeah,
then
that's what I've been doing too.
I go on.
Yeah, yeah. I use my on my iPhone now for this. Just set the timer. Yeah.
Thanks, Alan. Anyone have any further questions? I don't see any hands right now. All right, Steve, that might be the end of the questions. Well, any final comments?
Thank you all.
All right. Well, I do have a few announcements, and I want to thank you all for being here. It really was a pleasure to be able to, I haven't seen in a while, especially. And some of those have been a few weeks now, even for people that have been regularly coming to the Zendo. So nice to see you all. So as Steve has pointed out, we're working on our programming, what it is that it's going to look like at Dharma Field as we move forward in this stay-at-home mode that we're in. So keep your eyes on the website. We'll be trying to make sure that the homepage has updates about what's going on. And then we'll also be sending emails out, so keep your eye on your email as well. If you know somebody who should be getting an email and is not getting one, first of all, forward your email to them and then let us know, and we'll make sure. So I do have a few things then about our programming that will be occurring. First of all, this is our first talk. We will be doing Sunday talks from now on at 10 o'clock. And I've set this up as a recurring meeting, so you can just use the same link to get to next week's talk. But we will send out emails every week just to remind people. And the speaker next week will be me. I also wanted to let you know that our Thursday morning study group, that is the Zen Teaching of Homeless Kodo, is going on. That currently is at 7:30 to 8:30, but we can certainly talk about that as the sitting times that Steve is talking about develop. So, and then I want to make one last comment about that. So Steve did invite people to send times that maybe would be good times for us to establish a regular sitting practice as we're, again, sitting at home, staying at home. So why don't you please send those to the office at Dharma Field. You just go to our website and click on the Contact Us link and send your preference there. So, and then let's see, one last thing. I have two last things, actually. First of all, our practice periods, for those of you who are listening in right now who are part of the practice period, our meetings are going to resume next Sunday. And we'll let you know for sure when the times on that are going to be. And I'll resend out the schedules for when people will be giving their Chosan talks within this week. And then the last thing I want to announce is that we will have a class starting on April 13th. That was a class that was originally scheduled to start then. That's Steve Hagen's The Two Truths. We will be offering the class right now just on Zoom. And if the class, if this stay-at-home order ends and it looks like it's safe for people to meet, we will start convening at Dharma Field again, but we'll continue to broadcast via Zoom as well. Steve, did you want to say a few words about your class?
Yeah, well, this teaching on the Two Truths is very central to getting down to the deep insight of what the Buddha woke up to. I think we have a description out there now of it that I put together, but this is something that while it's been in our teachings for a long time, and Nagarjuna certainly championed this teaching and brought it out and showed its importance. I remember first hearing about it and understanding, reading about it, and I didn't quite get, I could sense that there was something to this, but I didn't quite realize just what it was. But this is very central to not just Buddhist teachings, but to really understanding reality and what is really happening here with us. And what is taking place. There are these two truths, and we say relative and absolute, and that makes it, that kind of simplifies it in some ways, though absolute might be hard to get our minds around a little bit. But exploring these and looking into these are very important. We, and now in the world of, particularly in the world of science and philosophy as well, scientists have come to realize that, yeah, this really seems to be pointing to the true nature of reality and the kinds of, particularly in physics, the kinds of theories and things that they have developed in the past as well as going forward now. If they, and they call this symmetry, is the name that they have for it. But if things don't show this pattern, they know that they're off track, and they've come to regard this now. After coming through the 20th century, that this seems to be a deep underlying principle of nature. And it reaches into, it's not just with physics, it reaches into all aspects of our lives. But this is directly, it's not related, this is basically the same insight that the Buddha had 2,500 years ago, and out of which the depths of his teaching came, including the understanding that we don't find self within an experience, which can do a great deal to alleviate a lot of the kind of suffering that we might be suffering from now with this coronavirus that we're all experiencing, but in many other aspects of our life as well. So this is what we'll be exploring. I'll be looking at it in various ways, not just from our ancient teachings that we have, but also in more modern insights as well that touch on this or point to it. So that's what the course will be about. Again, we'll have it in this kind of a setup, I guess, so room for many people in the class, more than we can fit in our classroom. So so anyway, if this interests you at all, please you know, sign up. Hope to see you there.
Thanks, Steve. All right, that's, I think, all that I have for right now. Again, I just want to thank you all for joining us, and if there are any glitches, hopefully over the next few weeks we'll get those things worked out. Really wonderful to see so many people here. Thank you so much.